Well, we appreciate the Lord this morning so much, and we pray and trust that the Lord will make our little time together here this morning profitable and useful. We've been studying about spiritual health for several Sundays. This is the fourth Sunday, and we've studied about different things. Last week, we studied about a sound mind. The week before that, about friends and about the church being our family and all of those things and the value that is and how the Lord wants us to interweave with that. And we've been thinking about the whole prospect of our salvation and how it is supported. You know, every building, everything is supported some way. There's some kind of foundation under it. And just following through each week with this thought, I want us to remember the old Conestoga wagons that we see in pictures and we see in museums. And they have all those wagons were designed to carry up to 3,000 pounds. They were designed to be workhorses. They were designed to carry weight and just keep on rolling. They had spokes in the wheels. They had wooden spokes in those wheels. They were quite a number of them, sometimes 14 maybe. And I know I've brought this out each Sunday, but there's different people here each Sunday. And so I want to keep that in mind, that there are things, spokes in our wheels that make us able to bear weight. Without them, your wheel would crush. You have to have them. They need to be tight. They need to be in right. They need to be able to carry weight over a long period of time and over distance. And so this morning, I just feel real inspired to bring something else. Sister Clay last Sunday got up and kind of stole my burden, but I just give that to the Lord because maybe we need to hear some of the same message twice. I don't know. But you pray for us. We want the Lord to give us some good things. Wrote on the board, spiritual health, forgiveness. You know, I can't think of anything else that supports our Christian life more than a heart that's full of forgiveness. If we don't have forgiveness, I will tell you, we're not going to bear weight. The scriptures talk about a tooth out of joint, or a broken tooth, it talks about. And it says confidence in an unfaithful man, I believe, is like a broken tooth or something out of what? Or a bone out of joint, however it says it there. You know, when we carry things in our heart, unforgivenesses, it makes it impossible for us to bear weight, because as soon as the Lord wants to put something on us and weight comes down on us, we stutter under that broken spoke. And we go around and we want to work and we want to do, but there's something there that causes the wheel to collapse. It's not able to bear the weight. And so this morning, I really feel like the Lord has something so good for us. Folks, God has a heart for us that doesn't carry those weights. Has a heart for us that we can keep on doing the work of the Lord, the will of God in our life, in spite of everybody's, whatever they do. Whatever they do to us, whatever others do to others, whatever things that are done in the world and all of those things, the Lord still wants us to continue on. He wants our experience to be alive and well. He wants us to be able to look after other people. He wants us to be able to look after our own soul and keep it fed well. But I'll tell you, if we get a heart that's full of stuff, we're not going to be able to bear weight. And I want to bring some of that out maybe later here. We will, Lord willing. But we want to start with the same scripture Sister Clay started with last week, Ephesians 4 and 32. It says, "And be ye kind one to another." I just want to stop right there. Paul told the Ephesians here, you be kind one to another. Be kind one to another. Be kind to people. Be kind to everybody. Is there anybody we shouldn't be kind to? Have you ever been around? We have an aunt that we just buried, Rosie's Aunt Esther. I want to tell you, kindness, benevolence, love, you couldn't find it much richer than what was in her life. It was a pleasure to be around her because she didn't carry ugly things. She didn't have any of it in her heart, in her life. She didn't carry it. She was full of love to everybody. Whoever it was, whatever the need was, if somebody had a need, well, let's pray for them. They have a need. And Esther was that way. It was a beautiful picture to see, and it was really wonderful to be around her because there wasn't any sharp edges like that. I knew her for 40-some years, and I'll tell you, it was a pleasure to be around Aunt Esther. You know, I don't think there's much more that you can do that's more enjoyable to be around one another than to have a spirit of generosity and kindness and benevolence toward one another. Is there? Isn't it wonderful to be in a home? I hope your home is like that. I want to tell you something. It's really beautiful to be in a home where you're not carrying grudges and everything's a match. And, you know, yes, there's things come up from time to time. You got to work through them. And you got to forgive it then and go on, don't you? Because we're people. And we offend one another. And sometimes we're a little offensive. And sometimes we need to be forgiven. And sometimes we need to forgive others. And folks, we're in life, aren't we? I want to tell you something. The Lord wants our home to be a sanctuary. Because if it's not there, then I assure you it won't be there everywhere else either. Maybe it'll be in some form. Well, you know, I go to my work. I do great there. Well, listen, I want to tell you, what we are and who we are follows us everywhere we go. It's impossible for it not to be so. And so the word kind, he said, be ye kind one to another. That word kind, I just want to enlarge on that word a little bit. Webster says disposed to do good to others. Disposed to do good to others. Now, you know what? That sounds pretty simple. That's the way we ought to be, right? But that's not the way everybody is it? Is everybody in the world that way? I don't think so. And so it says, disposed to do good to others and to make them happy by granting their request, supplying their wants or assisting them in distress, having tenderness or goodness of nature, benevolent, benignant. And what the old Webster's that I was looking at says, God is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted. It mentions that in the old Webster's. Proceeding from tenderness or goodness of heart, benevolence. So there has to be something down in here that it's coming from. It says proceeding from this, from tenderness. You know, we'll talk about tenderness a little bit in a minute. But there's something that proceeds out of our heart. Now I want to ask you what it is. Let's weigh our words. Let's weigh our actions. Let's weigh our attitudes. What is proceeding out of our heart? But see, it says proceeding from tenderness or goodness of heart. That's where this kindness comes from. Benevolent as a kind act, a kind return of favors. In Strong's, it seems to me like Strong's, when you look at it, it just gives it a little different flavor even. In our language, many times, the Greek is translated the best word they can without describing it with a whole flurry of words. But there's something, I want to read how kind is translated. I think it's 7 times in the New Testament. And listen to the way it's used in a few other places. For my yoke is easy. The word easy is the same word as kind here. Easy. You ever thought of that? My yoke is easy. That puts a little different dimension into kindness. And when you read Strong's definition, it's a little hard to understand, but you pick up that there's something easy about it. There's something that makes things easy between people. It seems to me like that's what I picked up. Another verse that's used as not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The goodness of God. That's the same word as kindness over there. And then again in 1 Corinthians 15, it says good manners. Good manners. In 1 Peter 2 and 3, it says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Do we get a picture of something really wonderful? It does to me. When this started unraveling to me, I was delighted. I think, Lord, this is a beautiful picture. And this is the picture that He wants to implant in our hearts. And so as we begin to understand more, it starts putting forgiveness in a whole different light. And so this morning, you cannot have this kind of heart with ill will at the same time. You can't have it towards somebody if you've got ill will and if you've got anger and if you've got all of those things. And so he says, you be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, kindness will create goodwill, politeness, courteousness, mildness. And that's as opposed to sharp, hard, harsh. It's a different thing, isn't it? It's a whole different world. And so it's opposed to that. And so, tender-hearted, you might think, that's compassion, isn't it? To show kindness when others have faults. A tender heart. You know, I think about, we know what tender means, don't we? When you hurt your finger real bad or you get a sliver somewhere, it's tender. My foot under one of the toes was tender the other day. I found myself curling it up and walking different because I couldn't put pressure on that because there was something tender down there. Still not sure what was wrong. But there was something, I'll tell you that, there was something I couldn't bear down on it. You know, this morning, the Lord wants us to have a tender heart. One that when we speak sharp, it hurts us. And we can turn around and say, you know what, I'm sorry. Because we really are sorry. You know what, I don't want to be that way. I want to be compassionate. I want to be kind in my words. And sometimes, folks, when we get tired, we can get a little sharp, can't we? The Lord help us today to let the Word fall upon our hearts and change us more and more. Now, I don't believe in I don't believe in sinful behaviors and just going right on. Folks, that takes repentance, real repentance. If we get all out of sorts and we start cursing and we throw things and we do things and we hit, and folks, you crossed a line there. But I'm talking about our lives, folks. We know that all of us are the same. We have to be careful. Be tender-hearted. When we offend someone, it should offend us that we offended them. That, you mean, they felt hurt by me saying that? Well, they shouldn't. I don't care. That's stupidity. You know what? We can take that attitude if we want. But I'll tell you what's better, and that's to have a tender conscience about it. and that we look within and say, you know what? We can go to somebody, even if we weren't really in the wrong. We can go to somebody. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for this offense here. You pray for me. I want to speak right. I want to do right. Even if it really wasn't our fault, and they perceive it being our fault. There's something wonderful about being tender with one another. It's wonderful to have a tender heart. And so, I will tell you the only way that we can do this is to not have the other things in our heart. I want to step back one scripture now and see how this is prefaced. Because it says, be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now verse 31 says, let all bitterness. Do we know what bitterness is? Without explaining it, I think we all know what bitterness is. It's bitter, isn't it? It's ugly. It's distasteful. Every time we think of something, this cloud comes up, this anger. He says here, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Put it away. Put it away. Don't think it's not going to come knocking on your door. Don't think anger is not going to rise sometimes. But I'll tell you what you do with it. Take it to the Lord, and instead of trying to call heaven down on your enemy, ask the Lord to take the anger out of your heart. Ask the Lord, Lord, I don't want to feel angry. I want to be able, as you said, to do good unto my enemies and to do it with good feelings even. Now, we can't always do that. I'm just going to tell you, it's not always going to happen that every time somebody offends you, you're going to be able to go back and just have a good feeling immediately. You're going to have to pray through that. We're going to have to pray through that. We're going to have to lay down the offense and ask God for help. And God helps. He keeps our heart free. Folks, He does not want us to be bound with unforgiveness, with bitterness. Every time I see them, something rises up within. Folks, the Lord wants to do something about that. That's done through a work of His Spirit. Now, is this condemnation? No, it is the understanding that we can have freedom. Freedom. You know what it's like to be free? It's wonderful to be free, isn't it? It's terrible to be in a cage. It's terrible to be locked up in chains. I don't want to ever be that way. I hope it never happens to me. Well, I'll tell you, if you let bitterness and anger and wrath and malice, ill will towards somebody, you let that rise up in your life, I want to tell you, you're going to be in chains. And when you wish that you could say a kind word, you won't be able to. And I'll tell you, we do have to say kind things, even if we are feeling offended at the moment. You know what? The Lord wants us to be able to overcome. And I'm not going to say, folks, that I've never had to get down and pray. Sometimes it takes some real help from God, does it not? Now, maybe you've never really been offended. I used to wonder as a young person. I thought, I've never been offended. I don't know what people are talking about. Well, I want to tell you something. I've lived a few years since then. And you're going to be offended sometime in life. The likelihood is. Maybe a bunch of times. And you might be offended real bad. Somebody may really do you wrong in a very real way. And I will tell you what God wants us to have. He says, be kind one to another, tender-hearted. In fact, He said, if you don't forgive from your heart, the Lord won't forgive you either. That's how strong this is. But see, the gift of God is peace. The very scripture that calls the Lord the Prince of Peace. He's the one, He's the propagator, He's the one that owns the thing. He owns the patent on it. He made it. It is Him. And He wants to give it to us. Isn't that wonderful this morning? Amen. Folks, I want to tell you, this is good news. Now, I know we've heard We've heard messages, and rightly so, about bitterness and anger and all those things, and we need them. But I want to tell you, the real message we need is that awesome message of good news called the gospel. It'll set you free. It'll make you able to have happiness inside. Thank the Lord this morning. Now, I will tell you, I believe that what we're talking about this morning is right up there with the worst tools of the trade that Satan has. I want to tell you, probably from what I've observed, this takes as many people out as probably anything I know of. I don't know if there's anything more. It's one of his greatest tools. So we want to become aware this morning that, folks, not only can we not come into the presence of the Lord like that, but we can be free. We can truly be free. We can be set free. And how does that happen? Sister Clay told us last week. She told us about going and praying about it, making it a matter of prayer. I love that, don't you? The gentle nature that she gave it in just melted me. And it followed already the burden that I felt like the Lord was probably going to give me for this week and some of the thoughts he had already given me. Folks, this is good news. This is the gospel. Oh, this morning, we can have this. We can have this. Everything that we set our foot on, we can have in the Lord. All his promises, is that right? Yes. Sure it is. Let's set our foot on it this morning. Yes. Let's pray our way through it. Let's pray, and instead of spending our time devoted to thinking about the offenses that has happened, and I will tell you, even in marriage, folks, we are really in a close place with one another. And many of us here are very opposites in our marriage. I want to tell you something. The Lord wants to put wonderful love in the middle of that too. Is that right? True forgiveness to one another over and over through life. Is that right? This is available. This is what's available. And I'll tell you what it brings. It brings a life of happiness, of freedom. Good things can happen from our lives like that. And I want to tell you something else. The Lord can put some weight on us. The Lord can put some weight on us. He has a lot of work to do in his work. He has a lot that needs to be done. But I want to tell you, if we can't win here at home, we're going to really be offended abroad at times. There's going to be the Lord's got to have people that will overcome. Will we? We can, and I hope we all will. It says here, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, it all goes together, be put away from you with all malice. Do you know that when we're angry at someone, it's hard to be kind? You ever notice that? It's hard to be kind. It's hard for your words to flow with tenderness. They can be like a sharp edge instead. Is that right? Sure it is. When we're angry at someone, it's hard to be kind. Let's let our heart be so tender that we grieve if there's feelings made between us and someone else. I grieve. I've grieved. Even when I didn't mean to say it, I've grieved. Lord, let me. And I pray, Lord, help me with this situation. I don't want them to feel bad toward me. I don't want them to feel, not if it's possible for it not to be so. Now, if I preach the truth and somebody's offended, I'll do my best to be friendly anyway. But I can't take that back. But folks, if there's something possible, let our heart be tender to those things. Someone was telling me the other day that they had been talking to someone that had come back from the Middle East. And they said, In the country that they were in, I think it was Iraq, I think that's the country it was, and they said their mindset is to right wrongs. That's all it is. That's all it ever is. They never entertained the thought that, hey, let's have a truce and let's forgive one another. That never enters the mind. It's been thousands of years, it seems to me, like that. On and on and on and on. A tit for a tat and on and on and on. And it can be that way in our life, and we can die old and all dried up. I had an uncle and an aunt. And you know, for many years, they didn't speak. Some little something my aunt held against him. Well, my uncle got saved by and by. And he was real interested. What can I do? You know, how can I unlock this thing? And he started making advances and letting my mother get involved and trying to help. And by, they began to talk again. And there was a level of forgiveness. And then my aunt took off again and died that way. And that's the way it was. And you know, I look at that and I think, what a loss. How much better it could have been to enjoy one another's company. I just want to encourage us, folks, if the wheel is going to bear weight, the spokes are going to have to be in and tight. And these are things that support our spiritual experience. They support what the Lord is wanting to do in our lives. The fact that we can learn to forgive and humble ourselves and get help from God and become loving and kind persons through our life. Folks, that tells me that's an awesome thing. As I've already said several times, I can't say how awesome it is. I thank the Lord that my life isn't bound up in chains of unforgiveness and bitterness. I don't want anything. That's why when I hear of all the turmoil and unrest, folks, I don't know how else to say it. Take it to the Lord, the one that can do things about things. Ask him what to do and do what he says. And don't let our hearts be so troubled. Don't let it in. Folks, the Lord wants us to have hearts that are full of peace and kindness and the work of the Lord at heart and at hand. I believe that. Without forgiveness, we'll go nowhere. We cannot love, like the Lord says, without forgiving one another. I want to read in 1 Kings a story. Well, I just want to read a verse or two here in 1 Kings 15. And 4, you remember old King David? King David has an awesome report. The Lord blessed him. He was a man after God's own heart. And we see here in verse 4 and 5 of chapter 15, 1 Kings, nevertheless, for David's sake, now this king that had been reigning had been a wicked king. And the scripture says, nevertheless, for David's sake did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem. Because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Now, that didn't take long to read, did it? Save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Now, what was that? That's the only thing. What was it? That was a grievous thing David did. He took off with another man's wife. Then he started lying and deceiving. And then he committed murder. Had murder committed. And he went, and all of these things. Now, it says David, that for David's sake, the Lord still left a lamp through this king's hair, through his bloodline. Okay? because of David's sake. I want to tell you something. It was a terrible thing David did. But I'll tell you what else David did. He repented. He said, I'm sorry. He came to the Lord for forgiveness. And God totally forgave him. Can you believe that? Would you forgive someone like that? God totally forgave him. Completely. And then all through the scriptures, we read Psalms of David all the time. What happened? David, he really turned aside there, didn't he? I want to tell you this morning again, folks, the Lord is a great God of forgiveness. And he wants us to be the same. He wants to put a piece of himself in us. Look at Psalm 103 and verses 9 and 10. And we find here, David wrote this psalm, 103 starting at verse 9. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Folks, that's a tall order right there, isn't it? Because he highly offended God and man. But God forgave him. He punished him for it. Yes, he did. But I will tell you, he forgave him, and he completely forgave him, and he didn't bring it back up to him. You know, this morning, that's a tall order, isn't it? And God wants to put a piece of that in us. Do you know that this close relationship that God and David had would not have been possible except for forgiveness? It would not have been possible for God to draw nigh and near to David had he held something in God's heart against David. But he didn't do that, did he? He totally forgave. And that is why the Lord says, that's one reason the Lord says, if you don't forgive from your heart, then I won't forgive you. Right. Folks, the Lord wants us to forgive that way, from our heart. For us to do that on our own, sometimes I believe is impossible. Sometimes I believe it's impossible. When you read Corrie ten Boom's book about what it was like in the concentration camps in Germany, folks, that was bad. I don't think any of us here have been even close to that. But I will tell you, they did the worst you can do, seems like. I don't know how you could do much worse. And they did that to people. And they killed their family members right in front of them after torturing them. They did so much. And Corrie ten Boom's words were, when they came out after the war, they had two choices, forgive or go to the mental institution. That's it. You either forgive or you go to the mental institution. It was that stark, the contrast was. Maybe ours isn't that stark, and so we hang on to it a little bit. And we just hang on to it. It's our lifeline to keep somebody in check or whatever we want to do. You know what? Let's forgive like the Lord does. I want to tell you, it's the same with us. We either forgive or we forego the blessings that the Lord has for us in our life. Forgive or forego the blessings. It's that critical. And so when we get down to pray, instead of our mind going over all of the things somebody's done to us, let's let it go to God and ask Him to give me a tender heart and a heart full of love and kindness. He can do that. I've had it done. I've seen a time or two when I was offended. I was really offended. And I had to pray. I remember one time, and I'm not a person that gets offended real easy, but I was offended. I went home. I prayed till up in the morning. I don't know, 2:30 in the morning. I kept praying. And I can't have this kind of feeling. The Lord's got to take this out. I cannot, because I was angry and I was feeling bad. Well, I will tell you, about 2:30 or so, the Lord met me, 2 or so, the Lord met me. And He gave me one of the most real visits I've ever had. And He told me, I just want you to stand like a rock in the billows. Do you know, the Lord visited me and He gave me that little touch to my heart that I needed. And I didn't struggle anymore with that. Now, I'm not going to say every battle has been that way. But I will tell you, that was one of the worst. And the Lord took it away fully and completely. And you know, I won that person back over. I won that person. I could have hated them. And we can all do that. But we can also have a chance to win them. To be a real loyal friend. And you know, I'd like to say more about it, but I can't. But you know, this morning, those things are available to us. Why do we have to be bound? We don't. We don't have to be. So what do we do if somebody has wronged us? What do we do? Romans 12 and 19 tells us a little bit about what we should do. I know that we have to do things that are sane and right, but we don't have to get revenge. And we don't have to go back and try to get them back at all. Here he says, verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. Isn't Jesus' words and His wisdoms completely contrary to ours as people? You know those people in the Middle East? It's got to be righted. There's no peace accord until we write this. And so they write that and somebody else does. It's just on and on and on. And it'll be like that in your life and mine too. But it's got to be settled. No, maybe it don't. Maybe we can forgive. And maybe we can forbear. And instead of saying what we would have, maybe God can give us grace not to say it. And instead to say something kind. And maybe begin to build a relationship that wasn't possible without forgiveness and forbearance and love. Those things are possibilities, folks. He says, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. The vengeance is His. We don't have to worry about it. He tells us not to worry about it. Don't worry about getting vengeance. Don't worry about avenging yourselves. Let the Lord have it. Let the Lord have it. So are we just letting them by with it? We're just giving it to God. He's the one that can do something about it. So, yes, we have to forgive, even when they haven't done what they're supposed to. Otherwise, folks, we lie bound in unforgiveness. And I want to tell you, when you have strong feelings of anger and all of that in your heart, I want to tell you, you're not going to be able to love like you should. You might think you're showing a little love. It's probably going to have a sharp edge on it. But I want to tell you, the Lord wants us to be able to have a heart that overcomes these things. It is a beautiful picture this morning. Therefore, now, listen to this. He goes on. He doesn't quit there. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, we like to think of that in the context of out there. If somebody does something to me, yeah, and it's big and all this, yeah. But I like to think of it in context of right here. Right where I live. And right where we live. And right where we are here. This is a spoke in the wheel. If we as a people, as a congregation, are going to carry weight, and the Lord's going to be able to work, and His Spirit is going to be able to convict people, and He's going to be able to give us souls to nurture, and to work with, then that's weight, folks. That's a big weight. A lot of times those souls have deep problems. They need somebody that can pray through. They've learned to pray through for themselves, and now they can pray through for someone else. Folks, the Lord wants that to be the case. And so we start right where we're at. Let's begin to ask God, Lord, transform me. Transform my home. Transform my life until this is what I see right here. Until others see that coming out of me. We're ambassadors, folks. We're taking to the world something. And the very fact that we have the name Church of God, God's people, Christian, the very fact that we have that says to people that we ought to be a certain kind of people, doesn't it? And if we're not, what a great disappointment that is this morning. I want to read another place in Colossians 3. To me, Colossians 3 is just one of those chapters that give you so many answers in life. To me, if you can just assimilate Colossians 3, you're going to go a long way toward getting to heaven. Verse 12, it says, Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies in the inside of you. What moves you? What moves inside of you? Bowels of mercies, folks. That thing from deep within. Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. He says to put these things on. You know what meekness is? It's mildness. It's gentleness. It's humility. It's those things that God wants to put in our lives, and it makes life so much better. Pride and all those things, we have to kill it out, don't we? We have to be careful of it. You think it won't knock on your door? It will in one form or another, I promise. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You know how Christ forgave you? He just did. You wasn't even able to do anything about it, and he forgave you. I know you asked forgiveness. That's it. And above all these things, put on charity, which is love, which is the bond of perfectness. And I know we've heard it said, many of us, it's like the mortar between bricks. It holds them together and it holds them a little apart so that they can, it's a good thing. It's the bond of perfectness. That's what love is. It gives us a little space from one another, and yet it holds us together also. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Oh Lord, let us be filled with this kind of love. I'm just going to borrow a few little things from Sister Clay last week. She mentioned about Stephen. And I know, folks, we're talking, this is heavy duty stuff. Don't think that, well, in the big one I would be okay. But this little thing, I can't be nice to my wife or husband. But I know I could if somebody was stoning me. That's not the way it works. And it doesn't. It doesn't work that way. But remember Stephen, he kneeled down. They were stoning him, and he cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. That's the last thing he said, coming right out of a heart that God had changed and worked. I wonder what Stephen was like before he was saved. I wonder who he was. I wonder what he was like. It doesn't tell us what he was like, but it sure tells us what he was like after he was saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And folks, the full salvation we have to have to be able to fully have the power that God wants us to have. Above all these things, he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. That was it. That was the last thing he said. And above all things, folks, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. We just have to forgive each other sometimes, don't we? Sometimes we're just not going to agree on some things. I would like to say we're all going to, you know, and I know that I believe the Lord wants us to bring us doctrinally. He wants to bring us to one line. But folks, there's a lot of things in life, a lot of ideas, a lot of perceptions, a lot of different ways we were raised. To some people, it's very important, and I think it's important to be on time too. But to some people, that's really big, isn't it? You know what, folks? We have to have fervent charity. Fervent. On fire. Boiling charity toward one another. Isn't that something? And to someone else, they have other things. That's just what came to mind. I hadn't even pre-thought that. But folks, you know what? There's a lot of different things like that in life. And the Lord wants us to have fervent charity. I just want to encourage us that these things bring about good results. And if you want those good results in your life, let's humble to the Word of God. And let's let the Lord work in us. Faith works by love. Everything works by love. Our whole experience works by love. And folks, it's not compartmentalized. It's not love here, but not there. It's love all the way across the spectrum. Y'all pray for me that I can live this way myself, that I can be a good example in these things. I want to serve the Lord to the end. And one of these days, we can go live with a God that is love. Amen.